want something more? More meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences? Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they'll ever make, the purchase or sale of their home, can be both rewarding and lucrative. Exit Realty's revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology provides you with the tools you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call me today, Robin Collins, R-O-B-Y-N Collins with Red Robin Homes at 843-557-5003. Again, that's 843-557-5003. Or visit me at redrobinhomes.com/joinexit and make your exit today.
Good morning, and great morning, guys. Welcome to another fabulous episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, guys, I am your host, Colvin J. Millette, broker and owner of Exit Realty, Low Country Roof, in beautiful, beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, if this is your first time listening to this show, guys, as I always say, you are most certainly in for a treat, because our mission here on Exit Strategies Radio Show is very simple. That is to empower our community. So that is you. Through financial literacy and real estate education, guys, we're legacy building. That is what we do. So, guys, look, y'all been with us on this ride, and I'm loving it. Every time I bump into you all in the streets, I'm astonished by the number of people that tune in and listen. But moreover, I'm appreciative of the feedback that you give me, which is, hey, we love what you're doing. We love the show. We love the content. So, guys, we have continued. We've been climbing to the highest heights. We have been reaching further and further to get and bring on amazing guests. And today is no different. We have with us today then Michael Margarella. So Michael, hey, he's the principal. But I don't want y'all thinking about school now. He's a principal with Next Play Investments. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Corwin. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. So Michael, look, let's dive in, my man. You are the principal. I like that. I may have to give you that coin, that phrase for you. But you are a principal with Next Play Investments. So if you don't mind, give our listeners high level. What does that mean? Who you are? And what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Next Play Investments is a private equity firm that sources investor capital and places it into commercial real estate deals, specifically self-storage and multifamily. And I started at a much smaller scale years ago in the residential space, doing mainly residential 1-4 rentals. And I just wanted to scale a little faster and a little quicker. And I had a lot of folks who were interested in partnering with me in varying degrees. And as you know, Corwin, sometimes it's a little difficult to form a partnership on just one rental property. So I started to think a little bigger and transitioned into the commercial world. And that's when I founded Next Play Investments, and again, targeting commercial properties.
You touched on a few things there, which is scaling. We've talked on this show, we've had guests on, and we've really talked about how to scale up. But oftentimes people think, well, I got into this, I'm here, and this is where I'm supposed to stay. Well, I'm here, but I want to be here. So how do I level up? So you scaled up by changing some things. So if you don't mind me asking, Michael, what gave you the bug about real estate in general? What tickled your fancy to say, okay, this is what I want to do?
It was really taking my future into my own hands. I mean, growing up, I think a lot of us are systemized to go to high school, go to college, get a W-2 job, and just work until you're 65 and retire. And for many people, that's great. But I wanted something that I had a bit more control over, something to help me diversify in the event that something happened. And I mean, COVID is a great example of this, right? I mean, there were a lot of folks who weren't so fortunate during COVID with their career paths, and a lot of jobs that got eliminated or furloughed for a period of time. So just having that backbone and that passive income, that's what really spurred me to take action. And I'd say it was really fueled during COVID, because we just saw so many things that we just didn't think were possible. So I use that as an accelerant.
Okay. So instead of being defeated by the situation, you were motivated and encouraged by it. Like, okay, well, look, you know what? I don't want to participate in the economy, if you will, from this side where I have these limitations. I want to free myself up from being negatively impacted by this by doing something completely different. That is very bold.
I'm a big proponent, by the way, of Warren Buffett. Be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. And COVID was a scary time. And I remember one of my colleagues said to me, probably right around summer 2020, that he was looking at a rental property. I think it was just a single family residence. And he told me he was glad he didn't purchase it earlier in spring 2020. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I wish I did purchase it because now I'd have some extra passive income here in summer 2020. And then as the months went on, I think we all learned that we wish we would have bought everything we could have in 2018, 2019, and 2020.
Yeah, exactly. You know, hindsight, they say, is always 2020, obviously. So if you're looking in the rear view, you always can see that a little bit clearer than you can what's down, quote unquote, down the road, because you can remember what you saw behind you. So you said you kind of scale. So your entry into real estate investing started around what, single family houses?
Yeah, that's right. Doing the whole BRRRR strategy, doing some residential fix and flips, a lot of the stuff that you learn on Bigger Pockets, and it's just really valuable insight.
So, and the trigger for you, again, going through what we went through, but how long did it, quote unquote, take you to begin to level, scale, and start looking at more commercial opportunities? Because you guys focus, if you don't mind, let's make sure we get this in, but your group, you focus on in what arenas?
Yeah. So currently we focus on self-storage and multifamily. But like I said, that's not how we started. We started in the single family 1-4 space. And I think we were just looking at return on time. I think return on investment is a really valuable metric. But we started to look at return on time and how much time it was taking us to source a single family residence or something in the 1-4 space, how much that yielded for us, and kind of just putting that into a metric. And I just wasn't pleased with the velocity of that. And I think it was a tough time, right? Around 2019 through 2022 or so. I mean, the market was really hot and there was a lot of demand. So it was tough to find good deals. And I just wasn't pleased with the speed of where that was going. So wanted to transition into something bigger where if you just did a few deals, that's still worth your while. If you do one 60 unit apartment deal or 30,000 square foot self-storage deal, that's a big deal. And that's something that's going to sustain you.
One of the things that as conversations that we've had previously on this show has circled around when you're getting into, let's say, you know, self-storage and you know, things such as that, is that you're now trading your tenant for their stuff, which gives you typically get rid of toilets. And all you got to do is keep contents, which is a whole lot less difficult to manage because now you're not making repairs constantly, at least knock on wood that you shouldn't be, but you're not making repairs and dealing with quote unquote the tenant issue. Is very simple. You house their stuff, they pay you to house their stuff. If they don't pay you to house their stuff, then that's a whole nother process. And we ain't gonna talk about that necessarily here, but nonetheless, it's a lot easier of a process, if you will, than it is to manage the people that come along with the toilets that you have when you have residential, correct?
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think in a lot of ways, it's a simpler business. It's really four walls and a roof. You don't have any live-in tenants, except for once in a while. And then that's a whole nother story. But generally speaking, as you said, people are just storing personal property. And there's a lot of benefits to that. Even during COVID, when there were residential eviction moratoriums, there were no such things in self-storage. And there really aren't evictions in self-storage. It's more so auctions. So there's a lot of things that are simpler about the self-storage world, but at the same time, there's a lot more nuance to some of it. And the position that we've taken with self-storage is that it's a business. It's not just a piece of real estate. And we wanted to run it like a business from day one. So we're vertically integrated in that we self-manage our own storage properties. And so that also makes it, adds a layer of complexity there because it's a bit different than the residential or even the multifamily space where you have a property manager. And for the most part, you're chatting with the property manager weekly or monthly and reviewing reports. This was a little different because we were basically building out our own call center. We're doing a lot of our own advertisements and just getting a lot of the stuff that needs to be done on the more detailed level ourselves. So I'd say self-storage is a lot simpler in a lot of ways, but it's a little more complex in some ways too.
That makes perfect sense. So let's start at the end and kind of back up, because again, it's more complex. So for our listeners, Michael, what are some of the pitfalls that you've ran into? You come around the corner, you got your momentum, you in this race, you lean them in, and you come around the corner like, oh, wait a minute, what was that? So give us some of that so that our listeners kind of get full context.
I'd say specific to the self-storage side, it's really building that business. When we acquired our first self-storage facility, we had a long-term goal in mind, and a lot of the vendors and the technology that we chose to use were things that we wanted to use in the future. But I don't think we fully comprehended just how much of a business this was as opposed to just real estate. So I think advice for the listeners, especially in self-storage, is that it is not a passive asset class. If you're interested in self-storage, you either need to have a really good property manager, a really good partner, or maybe you should just be passive investor, meaning more like a limited partner in a syndication or something like that, because self-storage itself is just not passive.
That's interesting. Thank you for that. For our listeners, guys, and Michael, matter of fact, let's define active and passive for our listeners. They should know this. Y'all been listening to the show long enough. If y'all don't know this, then look, if we see each other in the street, we might have to go to blows or something. That tell me y'all wasn't listening. But an active investment versus a passive investment. Michael, go.
Yeah, I'd say in its simplest terms, an active investor is somebody like myself who's operating a deal, who is sourcing deals, managing it, whether it's through a property management company or asset managing a property manager. And passive partner is in the security space, perhaps a limited partner, somebody who basically just gets mailbox money and they get a return on investment in exchange for contributing capital to a deal.
Okay. All right. And that right there, listeners, is where this thing here, where the line comes in. Because, you know, if you got a full-time job, it is difficult to be an active investor. It's not impossible, don't get me wrong. But an active investor is when they're not on their main job, they're over here at their property trying to take care of, cut the grass and paying bills and doing all the minutia. Whereas a passive investor in that same scenario, they went home, they with the family, they would kick back watching a football game or whatever game, basketball game, whatever it is, but they'd kick back watching the game and they just go check the mail about once a month or look in their bank account and the money is there from the proceeds, if you will, from the property. Guys, you get to choose which one you want to be. So just make sure that as you listen, that you take out the key points to make the decision that is best for you. So came around the corner and boom, you found out this thing required a lot more work than and a lot more hands-on than what you would have suspected otherwise. Now, I'm going to ask this question, Michael. It's a very open-ended and maybe a loaded question, but are there any regrets in anything that you've done in this space so far?
I'd say maybe in the beginning, we may have brought on a property manager, let's say, for the first facility or two, just to get more of an inside look as to how the day-to-day management goes. But we learned the hard way. It was more of a sink or swim way. And we took a lot of positives out of that. And we learned what not to do in a lot of senses. And we learned what we should do in other senses. There's really no such thing as failure. It's just what you learn from a lesson there. And that's kind of what we took away from it. And that's how we grew. And that really trails back to the point that you made about active versus passive, right? And there's no right way to do it. I mean, I'm a passive investor in a few deals myself. So even if there's some of your listeners who are interested in being active investors one day, there's nothing wrong with being a passive investor first and just seeing how things are done. And that helped me a lot, is seeing how active investors structured their deals, how they underwrote the deals, how they dealt with investor relations, and what they did when things got tough. What was their communication like and things like that. So I think all of those things are learning experiences. As long as you could take something from them, you could regard that as a success.
That's fair. So it's about learning forward.
Absolutely.
What I heard you say, because you learned yourself through the missteps, if you will, going forward, not taking or falling back and quote unquote having to regroup, but we'll work ourselves through this and then we'll get to that next level.
And you have to do that, right? Because most of the time when your phone rings, it's usually bad news, right? I mean, nobody's calling you to tell you, hey, you know, we paid our rent on time or we got caught up. I mean, it's always something, right? So you just have to figure out what the best strategy is to move it forward.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. You know, sometimes when you look at the phone, you'd be like, ah. And it's typically the late night, early morning or the weekend phone call.
Yeah.
That's that. Never call during business hours, right? They call on the nights, late at night, early in the morning, or on the weekends, hoping to get your voicemail so they can leave it on your voicemail or something. I get it. So, Michael, you guys have kind of scaled this thing up also to the level where you're partnering, working with essentially crowdfunding, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, I definitely want clarity on that for our listeners. But you're pooling people together to now make these investments. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's correct. And that was part of the reason we moved over into the commercial space. It's just because a lot of folks started to see what we were doing and they were interested in partnering with us in various degrees. And like I said, it's just a little more difficult sometimes to do that on a one-off scale for slightly smaller properties. So now that we're into these larger properties, it gives us more opportunity to bring on investors and partners and folks who want an alternative to the stock market, especially nowadays. And for the last couple of years now, folks are just looking for a somewhat safe place to park their money. And so we've tried to provide that to a lot of our investors. And we've been pretty fortunate in that we've provided some good results for our investors. And that's led to some additional friends and families of those folks coming in and wanting to join.
What's interesting, and I know that you know this differently than how I'm going to explain it, but how I'm going to explain it, I'm hopeful will bridge a gap for some of our listeners, because we've gotten to a place now. It used to be that we were minimalist. We didn't want any baggage, everything, and this is smaller spaces and no storage and all that stuff. But the reality is now, as people, mentally, we hold on to everything. I've noticed now a trend. I talk about this in conversations. I've spoken about this, but I noticed a trend now with funerals now where giving out, they're making these spreads, these essentially blankets with the person's name and, you know, with a name, a picture, year of birth, the dash, all that stuff in there. And it's a keepsake. And I said, you know what? And you'll appreciate this, because to be blunt, it keeps you in business. But the reality is that there is a very, very, very small chance that anyone else will ever throw that thing away. If there was a spouse that survived, they'll keep it. The children will keep it. The children's children may even keep it. And it may go on forever. Now, that don't mean they're going to keep it in their house, but they're going to keep it, which means they got to have somewhere to store it. Just those kind of things. If you look at it, we've become now storage buildings and places are popping up everywhere because we keep everything. Everything is a keepsake, but we don't want to forget. We don't want to this and we don't want to that. Everything is becoming a keepsake. So if you're looking, and this is the plug I'm going to give right now, Michael, for you. If you guys are thinking about this and realizing, wait a minute, that's right, because I got some stuff in storage right now, y'all better reach out to Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually, I think you hit the nail on the head. And that's why I actually refer to self-storage sometimes as inflation resistant, because we're coming off a time where the government printed so much money and a lot of people bought a lot of toys in 2020 and 2021 and 2022. And occupancy was at all-time highs for the past 3 years or so. Now we're starting to see a bit of a leveling now. And, you know, there's some recession talks and possibly we're in a recession, depending on who you talk to. And even during prior recessions that we've had, self-storage has still been a strong performer, because as people downsize during a recession, they need more storage. If people are unfortunately displaced, they need storage. If a divorce occurs and one household becomes two, they need storage. So there's a lot of drivers there which drive the occupancy of self-storage. And I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I say this jokingly, but seriously, but there are some times when it does. So I say this often, Michael, and feel free to take this and use this wherever. Real estate is not common sense. It isn't. But there are some common sense approaches to real estate. And what I just shared is a common sense approach to real estate. Does it make sense that rents go? Well, it makes sense on one side. If rents go up and this changes and all this other stuff, no, it's always tied to something else. But when you get the common sense piece of it, let's get it down to the basis to where most consumers reside. It makes sense to invest in storage buildings, storage units, those kind of things, and those types of endeavors. Because not only do you see them being built, but imagine, like right now, my garage is a storage unit. So I'm going to take the box truck home and I'm going to purge it. And when I purge it, it should go to either Goodwill, so to speak, go to a nonprofit that sells it, whatever they do with it. I don't care. Once it's off my truck, I'm out. I'm done. But besides that, I also got a storage unit right back over here. And I rent for equipment and stuff for the business, because we don't have, our office isn't big enough to store everything. But if you get an office big enough to store everything, then you don't need the stuff anymore. Then what you going to do?
Those are frequent customers. It's not just individual. It's also businesses. It's if they don't want to spend more money on office space, or it's just unfeasible to store what you need to store in office space, you put it in storage, and it's a good use. And it's a lot cheaper than renting or buying additional office space. I mean, you could rent, let's call it 100 square feet in most markets for $75 a month. It's a month-to-month lease. It's a lot simpler. You could access your unit pretty much 24/7. It's usually a safe facility that's gated and well-lit. So a lot of people see that as an attractive alternative.
Exactly. So look here, if I had a bell over here, I'd be like, yeah, man. All of that. So if that is what it is, there's such an opportunity within that space. And you made mention of this a little early, so I want to take you back to this comment before I bring us back as we're quickly approaching the end of today's show. But the residential side, it is hard to find a deal or opportunity on the residential side. The reason being is because everybody is fighting in the same space. What you did was, well, hold on. Let me pick my bait up. Let me take my fishing pole and my hook. Let me go on over here to the smaller pond.
That's exactly why we did it.
Outside. And so if they fish over here, inevitably one of them went around the other way and got on the other side because they didn't want to be over here with all the mother fish. You see what I'm saying?
That was the exact calculus.
You can use that, just so you know. You can take that and use that because people miss it. But the ponds are interconnected. We miss that. There's streams, creeks, all these things that connect all this stuff together. Real estate is that type of landscape where we're going out with a fishing pole and a rod hook and worms or whatever. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna say hook up a hen or nothing, a gator or nothing. You know, we down south, we got them down here. But not saying that you're going to do that. But on the other side of it, it's all interconnected. So the fish will get to the other ponds. You just got to get there.
There's no best asset class. I mean, multifamily is great. We have multifamily. Mobile home parks are great. You can invest in office, triple net, industrial, self-storage. I think what's most important is that you devote yourself, or you pick one or two paths and you really devote yourself to those paths. Get to know the players in that space, the brokers, and get really familiar with the operations and become an expert there and almost become known for self-storage or multifamily or mobile home parks, rather than looking at all 10. And don't try to figure out what's best because they're all good. Just depends on how well you operate them.
Exactly. So, Michael, for our listeners, first thing, how can people get in contact with you?
Yeah, please visit my website, nextplayinvestments.com. You could shoot me an email or set up a call. I'd be happy to chat.
Awesome. The next thing, and Michael, I call this my mic drop question. All right. And you may have kind of went around some of this stuff, but I want you to zero in and hit that target, which is this. My mic drop question is, if you had to go back and do this thing all over again, if you had the opportunity to, what have you learned that if you had the opportunity to go back and do it all over again, that you go back and do? What will you change?
I feel like start sooner in general is the answer that you'll always hear. And I feel like that's always correct. So I'd say that would be part one. And then part two, if I try to niche it down a little more, would be, I wish I went bigger a little sooner and just transitioned right into that commercial space right off the bat. I think a lot of the lessons I learned in residential were valuable, but I think I could have sped up the process if we had just started in self-storage and multifamily and focused on that from the jump.
Thank you for that. I'm going to share this with you as we get to a close. And I'm going to share this because you just confirmed something for me. So SOI in the real estate world, most times people look at SOI as sphere of influence. You know, that circle of people that you know, that know people in those spheres. And that's where you get your business from, where you kind of grow. And eventually your sphere gets larger and larger and you get more and more business further and further out. But SOI is also speed of implementation. And that's something that we sometimes miss in the business. We overanalyze. We don't do things quickly. And when you look back at it, if you'd have done this then, imagine how much further you'd be along now. So, Michael, thank you so much for that confirmation for me today. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
So we have quickly reached the end of today's show, Michael. I appreciate you being in. I appreciate you being on with us today. And most importantly, I appreciate the nuggets that you've been dropping this whole show. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being on the show with me today and being a part of the Exit Strategies Radio Show family.
Appreciate you, Corbin.
Thank you. So for our listeners, guys, look, y'all know what it is. Y'all know what we do. Y'all know how we say. We're going to put the two of them the two, yeah, y'all see that two right there, of them together. And we're going to say it to you this way, which is, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to see you guys out there in those streets.